I hope everybody will follow along with me this morning while we open up God's Word and talk about a few things this morning. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for giving me this opportunity to speak today. I hope that it'll be uplifting, because some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning, and I don't know why I haven't done this lesson before, but it's actually on preparedness. So preparedness is what we're going to study this morning, and I can't believe that I've never done this lesson before. So I went back and I looked over a whole bunch of lessons that I've done before, and none of them were on preparedness. However, a lot of them could relate to preparedness and the things that we've done with preparedness. And I can't think of a better time to give a lesson on being prepared. Now, when we think about being prepared, that I was thinking about with preparedness is right now, we seem to be preparing ourselves for emergencies. Now, those that know me know that I'm a professor, and a lot of the things that I teach in cybersecurity and education is being prepared, right? You can never be too prepared, because there's always an attack happening. Well, when I think about an emergency, some of the things I think about that we might have in our own house is a first aid kit. You know, there's even a show that's preppers, that people are preparing and they're planning for future events. Well, I believe that that's a great topic, especially to talk about nowadays. Because when you talk about preparedness or prepping, you talk about mitigation. And mitigation is after you find a risk, or after you've found a vulnerability or a fault, you have to make a change. You have to adapt. You have to mitigate those circumstances. So, the things that I was thinking about with this is here at Waynesville, I feel like we've done a great job. We were able to store up money, so when we weren't able to convene face-to-face, we had enough money stored up that we didn't have to worry about anything financially. And I believe we are following Corinthians in lay, buying, and storing for those issues. So when something came up, I felt like we were ready. Also, with the juices and everything else that we've put together, we're ready to go. We set up this plexiglass right here, so therefore I don't have to talk with a mask on this morning. So we took these actions to prepare ourselves for what was necessary. So I felt like we did a great job in that. So I thought about talking about a few things that happened in the Old and New Testament about being prepared. And I hope that everybody knows these stories. If not, I tried to make some examples out of the stories we already know, but maybe not the way that we would think about it. So this morning, I would like to talk about Adam and Eve, Noah, and Joseph. We're going to talk about these examples here in the Old Testament, and then we're going to make relation here in the New Testament about these examples. So let's take a look at Adam and Eve. Now, I like to read here in Genesis 3, starting in verse 17, because something happened to them when they were kicked out of the garden. So it says, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Curse is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" So at this point, they were to work the ground. That was their curse, was working the ground for food. Now, after driving 6,500 miles and covering pretty much the whole mid part of the United States, here's the track that we drove. I saw a lot of this. I saw a lot of farmland. And I was just thinking about when God cursed them after they ate upon the tree and they were sentenced out of the garden. They were to toil in the fields to eat. And after driving through all of this farmland and talking to all of the farmers, because our camper broke and we had to go get it welded, I talked to a lot of farmers and what they had to do to prepare and to prep. And I was just thinking about all of this farmland, because 40% of the United States is farmland. And it's kind of funny when people ask me where I'm from, I normally said, "Oh, I'm from the farmlands of Ohio." But really, the farmlands of Ohio is about 90% of Ohio. So I'm sure people are like, "Well, that didn't narrow it down very much when you said you were from the farmlands of Ohio." And then roughly 36% of the United States is forest, and only 7% of the United States is residential. So when you look at the United States, and I know that leaves like 14% left, and 14% would be like the deserts and lakes and oceans and waterlands and all that kind of stuff. So if you look at this, think of how much land is used to toil to prepare our food. And you know, it's even for cattle and grazing land and all that kind of stuff. All of that has to be worked and prepared in order to produce food. It just doesn't sit there and we just don't go out and pick it up. It has to be worked. So again, with Noah, we also see this same example. So I'd like to read here in Genesis 6 and 13. It says, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" So I feel like if I was Noah here, and if God is getting ready to say he's getting ready to destroy the whole earth, I'd be like, well, I live there too. You know, this is going to be a problem. I also live on this earth. You know, what's going to happen with this? Well, we know that he's instructed to build an ark. So here in Hebrews 11 and 7, we kind of see this example of preparedness. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark." We know that God gave the instructions of how to prepare the ark and all these things. "For the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is according to faith." So again, we can see that the entire earth was covered with water. And I can't think of anything more destructive than a flood. You know, I was even thinking with preparedness, flood insurance always comes up as being prepared. Flood insurance, things that we would need to be prepared for a flood. I even get weather alerts on my phone that always says, you know, Ohio is in fear of a flash flood or something like that. So being prepared for something, and of course with Noah, this was the greatest flood, that he was prepared for this to happen because he heeded God's warning. So here in verse 22, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all things that God commanded him." So he did. So he did all of the things that God told him to prepare for that to come. So let's take a look at Joseph. As we're continuing this idea of being prepared, let's turn over to Genesis 41. Now, there's a lot of examples that I could probably use from Joseph. But the one that I would like to use today would be Joseph 41. And of course, we know 17 through 32, he would have interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. Now, I'd like to read a couple verses here when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. So that's Genesis 41. I'd like to read 35 through 36 to kind of take a look at what we're talking about with preparedness. And he said, "And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming." Now remember, this is when Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. This is when Pharaoh had the dreams about the lean cows and fat cows and all that kind of stuff. And Joseph knew that there was going to be a famine coming. So he is storing up all of these things. And it says, "And store up all the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in their cities. Then that food shall be served for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." So we know instruction by God, after Joseph interpreted this dream, that he knew that there was going to be a famine. Well, they knew a famine was coming, so what did they do? They prepared. They stored. So also in Genesis 41, in verse 47, it says, "Now the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly." So there was a whole bunch of grain through these years. "So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city of food a field which was surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable." So we know that he helped gather all of this grain from all of the surrounding fields. And we know as the story goes, as the famine gets worse, Joseph's brothers actually come to get food from Egypt, right? And then he gets reunited with his family due to this famine, but also due to the way that he had prepared. Now, of course, God showed him what he needed to do to be prepared. And again, I think of the farmlands here in the United States. If anybody's had the opportunity to fly in a plane, as you guys know, due to COVID, I'm not traveling near as much. I think I was on around 57 airplanes last year, right? So I got to see a lot of things from the air. So a lot of the sights from the air looks like this. It's just a whole bunch of farmland. And I really like those circle farms due to how they, you know, feed them and they have the spreaders spin in circles. So we know that there's all of this farmland. And again, we know in the story of Adam and Eve that they were to toil, to work for the land, to bring forth food. And then in Joseph, they store the food. So if anybody also has a chance to go to Southern California like we did this year, I could not believe how much land in Southern California was used as farmland. I didn't realize how agricultural sound Southern California was. But it's really pretty in Southern California. There is a lot of farmland. So I just think of all of that hard work that's used to work for the land, to bring forth the food, because of being prepared. If not, we wouldn't have any of these foods. So those are some of the examples that I'd like to look at from the Old Testament. So we talked about Adam and Eve. We talked about Noah. And we talked about Joseph. But then this morning, switching over to look at the New Testament, let's look at a couple other examples about being prepared, or somebody preparing the way. And in that case, let's look at John the Baptist. So let's look at Matthew 3 and 3. So talk about being prepared. In Matthew 3 and 3 it says, "For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one carrying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, makes his path straight." So we know that John was sent before Jesus to help prepare the way. Then in Luke 3 and 16 it says, "John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So John was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. Then his teachings helped pave and get everybody's mindset ready for when Jesus came. So we know that a few things were set up for Jesus to come, but what about in some of Jesus' teachings? Now, I tried to pick some things about being prepared that maybe we wouldn't normally think about. So I hope everybody will kind of follow along with me with this thought about Mary and Martha, about worshiping and serving, and about being prepared. Now, let's look in Luke 10, starting in verse 38. And let's just look at this instance between Mary and Martha and what was happening at this time. So starting in verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" So I'm sure that everybody has had guests over to their house. It's a lot of work. So we see that Jesus was offered to come over to this house. And we see that Mary is doing all of this work, preparing, putting these things together. She's trying to serve. She's trying to do all these things. But yet, her sister is not doing any of these. So she tries to convince Jesus, "Hey, you know, this person needs to help me. I'm preparing all these things. I need this help." But Jesus' response back to her maybe wasn't quite what Mary had thought it would be. So continuing on in verse 41, and it says, "And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which may not be taken away from her." So this story makes me think that we may be preparing for things and working hard on things that may not necessarily be important. We see that one of the sisters was working hard, preparing for all of the people serving, doing these things. But maybe she would have been better off sitting and listening to Jesus like her sister did. Maybe she should have slowed down and taken that opportunity while she was working hard and preparing to actually take time to maybe listen to Jesus. And I think of that with our own lives, about as we're talking about being prepared. You know, we can talk about preparing ourselves in a worldly sense, but when we talk about preparing ourselves from Jesus, we might want to take time to set aside from our lives, of all the things that we're preparing in our lives, to actually sit down and read the Word or listen to Jesus. Because Jesus helped us prepare the way and prepare the apostles. Kind of here in a double meaning, I think here in John and 14, we're going to talk about being prepared in multiple ways. Because not only is Jesus preparing, but also the apostles are preparing, and also we're being prepared. Kind of here all at the same time. So let's look here in John 14. Let's take a look starting in verse 1 of John 14. We'll read through verse 6. John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So he's talking about going and preparing a place for us. Now the apostles are a little confused here, but he's talking about going and preparing for us. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So he's talking about heaven, as we know now. The apostles are a little confused. "And where I go, you know. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I kind of took this verse as preparing everyone. Jesus is now going to prepare a home for us in heaven. He has set forth the way for the apostles to follow here. Specifically in this verse, he lets them know that he has helped prepare this way. And then how do we know the way? Well, Jesus tells us the way to follow. For he is the truth and the life. So he is preparing the apostles to do this work after he's gone. He's going to prepare a place after he's gone. And then also we can follow this to prepare ourselves to follow. Not only are we to follow this, but we're also left with a helper. Here in John 14 and 15 it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the Word cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells in you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So he talks about this helper that will help with the way. Because he prepares the apostles for this way. In Matthew 28 and 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen." So Jesus prepared them throughout his whole life for the apostles to go and do after he ascends into heaven. So the apostles should know what to do here at the end of Matthew. They were prepared to go and teach because we consider this the great commandment, but we know that they were prepared this whole time to go out and preach and to make disciples of all nations. They had the tools and they had the knowledge to do this. They were prepared to take those actions. Now, with most lessons, I normally start with a definition of what the word is before I get into it. But this time I kind of left it to the end, because I kind of wanted to talk about preparedness for a minute. And again, there's a lot of models out there with dealing with preparedness. This specifically is the Deming model. If anybody's ever studied the Deming model, it's interesting because it was never really accepted in the United States. And the guy that made it actually went overseas to help other auto manufacturers with this model, and they actually became better companies because of it, and the United States kind of battled with those companies for a while because this model takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work. A lot of people just want to get a product to market. They don't actually want to take the time to see what it takes. So this plan has to do with planning, doing, checking, and action. It's continuous. And I think of that with preparedness and with our own Christian lives. We are to prepare ourselves. We are to read the Bible, to study, to check ourselves, to make sure that we're doing, and then we have to do, and we have to have action. Because the actual definition of preparedness, through Merriam-Webster and several other sources, all basically say the same thing. It says the quality or state of being prepared, especially a state of adequate preparation in case of war. Normally the word itself directly relates to war or warfare with preparation. So in closing, I would like to read this verse talking about our weapons of our warfare and our Christian lives. So here in 2 Corinthians 10, I'd like to read a verse about being prepared and prepared for war. Starting in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought unto captivity to the obedience of Christ." So when we talk about preparedness, we think of the definition about warfare. We think about preparing our souls for an eternal life in heaven. That we're given these weapons, or the Word of God, that we can use to pull down strongholds, to cast down arguments of every high thing that exalts itself, with the knowledge of God. We know these things that we should follow and be prepared for. I had never really thought too much about this verse until I started thinking about being prepared and the preparations that it takes to prepare our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, and our soul. Just like how the apostles were instructed when they were being prepared by Jesus to go out and teach to the rest of the world, we have that same call this morning. When we think about what it takes to be prepared, it's mentioned there in Matthew, where it says that to become a follower, to become a Christian, to be prepared, that step would to become baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, according to that verse. So at this time, as we close, we give everybody the opportunity that if you would like to become baptized, if you would like to take that preparation step, you can come forward as we stand and sing the closing song.